The church say amen.
Amen.
God is good.
All the time.
And all the time. God is good. It's good to be among you all this morning. It is good to see each and every one of you as well. God has granted us another opportunity that we have this morning to see this brand new day. A day unlike we've ever seen before, and we shall never see it again. It is good to be here. And even though I'm not feeling my best this morning, I'm going to try my best to give my best. So bear with me this morning as we go into the Word of God. But first of all, let us go to God in prayer. O Lord, our gracious and heavenly Father, we are thankful, O Lord, because we are blessed. We are blessed because we know you and serve thee, the living God. We thank you, O Lord, and ask you to continue to give us your blessings as you see fit, O Lord. Father, we thank you for food, shelter, and clothing that we received last night and this morning. And we thank you for your house that had the doors swinging open this morning that we were able to enter in and be a part of the church services this morning. Amen. We thank you that we may serve thee in spirit and in truth. We thank you for the leaders of this congregation. We thank you for their families. We thank you for those brethren who have taken part in the services thus far, along with their families. We're so glad this morning to see each and every one out. And we just thank you, O Heavenly Father. We pray for those who may be sick and unable to be with us. We pray for those who have lost loved ones this morning, O Heavenly Father. We just pray that you strengthen them as well. Amen. We thank you, O Lord, for our children this morning. And for we know that the children are our future. And Father, we need some guidance in this world today because our children are not being guided properly. And we just need your hand in lending us your hand, that we might do a better job of raising our children. Father, we thank you for all of those who met us this morning out here at this household of faith. We thank you, O Lord, for Jesus who hung, bled, and died on yonder's cross, that we might have the chance at the everlasting. At everlasting life. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, for everything you do for us, and we ask it all in the name of him that went to Calvary's cross. We ask it all. Amen. Amen. This morning, the scripture was read for your hearing from the third chapter of 2 Timothy, the verses of 1 through 5. This morning, we want to talk about a familiar subject. We want to look at draw near to God in these times. The word perilous has several different meanings. It means dangerous, distress, unbearable, and even extreme. The Bible warns us of perilous times. It tells us that they shall come, not if they come, but that they shall come in the last days. These conditions will become more numerous and become more intense as we get closer to the Lord's return. Even now we see and hear of great acts of disobedience and sin of every kind, unlike we have never seen before. In other words, the time is right for all men to draw themselves near to God, for he is our only source for help in times like these. Draw near for pardon. Mankind has rejected, hated, and denied God, and I believe we have offended God. Isaiah wrote long ago in Isaiah 55, verses 6 and verse number 7, which I believe has great advice for us today. He said, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, for he will abundantly pardon." We need to seek God's way and not our way. We need to repeat. We need to repent, turn to God, for he is willing to accept us if we come to him. This is very good advice for us today, especially to those who have turned their backs on him. If you say, I knew him once upon a time, then I say, come back and meet him again. And if you've never known him, come for the first time. This text implies that God is near in verse 6, where he says, call him while he is near. That implies to me that God was near and may still be near. He's as near as you're asking him to be. When you call upon him, you expect to get an answer if you call upon him in faith. The people who turn their backs on God are the same as those who crucified Jesus. God is waiting for us to return, but he accepts nothing less than repentance. Do you remember in Luke chapter 15, the prodigal son? It's an old familiar story. But the Bible says the prodigal son, who when he came to himself, in verse 18, he said, I will arise and go to my father and say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. We must go to our Father in heaven and seek repentance in order to come back to God. Returning to God and seeking his pardon is always good for a child of God. It's always good when you can ask God for forgiveness of your past and of your sins and whatever is in your past. So look at the text, if you will, with me. Verse number 1 of chapter 3 of 2 Timothy. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. And so I ask the question this morning, are we there yet? I think we are pretty close if we are not already there. Look at verse number 3. Without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. We've got to draw near to God in these times, for we are in some strong and some wicked times. We are in times where just our saying so won't make it stop happening. We are in times where you can't look at anybody anymore without fear of being harmed or hurt. You can't. Used to be people would speak to you when you meet them on the street. Now it's a bad thing for you to open your mouth to somebody when you meet them on the street. It's not a good thing. I know when I go and visit my folks down in the state of Mississippi, it's still good that people, when you meet them, they either wave at you or they speak to you, because that's a tradition in the South. But it doesn't work up in an area like this up in the North. You've got to be careful how you look at people, how you say something to people, and what you do around people. Perilous times are here now, the text tells us in verse number, tells us that they shall come, but I'm saying that they are here now. It tells us that these times shall come, not if they come, but watch the text as it speaks of a shall come. And as I just read for you, people of today are fearful of wars. They're fearful of the failing economy. Every time we look around, there's more sad news on the health front. New illnesses are being brought to the forefront. New terror threats are brought to the forefront. There was a time when you could go into a bank, show your driver's license, and transact your business. Now you must show several pieces of ID, even though your picture is on your driver's license. It's not enough. Thank God today, God and His church accept all who would come that they might find peace in God's teaching and the teaching of God's word. How can we be sure that of that? Well, in Matthew chapter 28, verse number 18, the Bible says, Jesus spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. This lets us know that the Father and the Son are in charge of everything in the world. Look at verse 3 of John chapter 1. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. That's not double talk. That's simply saying God is in charge of everything. He made everything. He owns everything. If you need peace and power, now is the time, and God is the one we need to draw near to. Since He made peace and power, He's also in charge of them. Because of all the unrest and uncertainties we face, there's little wonder why there is high stress levels, nervous disorders, suicides are at a high level, and plenty of desperation. Because of this, our strength is not sufficient under these heavy weights. We are all put under God, but God is our power source. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 7. For God has not the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And then in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 6, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. I told you God is a God of power and peace. There's no better reason to look to the Lord for peace than that which can be found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 16. Now the Lord of peace Himself give you peace always by all means. God offers both power and peace. If we but put our faith and trust in Him. But to the wicked, Isaiah 57 answers them also, there is no peace to the wicked. What better time than now for us to draw near to Him? I suggest that if you don't know Him, you ought to get to know Him this day. What better day than this day, this very day, that you get to know Him? I suggest to you that you need to meet God, because God is able to get rid of everything that may be on your heart that troubles you. God is able to move mountains that you can't even see. God is able to fix everything if you but just let Him. Then we need to draw near to Him in times like these for our provisions. This world in the future will fail, and all of its systems shall collapse. And for those who don't know the Lord, all their hopes and dreams shall vanish also. The Bible has issued many warnings to men on this matter. In our text for today, we hear of the upcoming conditions that we shall have in the last days. Look at verse number 5. Of the text again. Verse number 5 says, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Look at all of the conditions that the Word of God has suggested to us that will happen in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number, looking at from verse number 1 through verse number 5 there. It also tells us that when we turn away from such, these verses tell us we are to stay away from them. We all know how much men love themselves. You know, I'm a firm believer that sometimes, and I'm talking to the men right now, sometimes we have to listen to our wives, men. Sometimes it makes a lot of sense to listen to them. How many times have you been, say, traveling, and your wife told you, I think you should have turned right there. And you say, oh, no, I know that's not the place I'm supposed to turn at. And you get about 20 miles down the road and you say, I should have turned back there. I say that men, it's time to learn to accept your wife for what she is. And I'm not coming down on the men. I'm not talking about marriage this morning. I'm simply stating a fact. Men, we need to be better citizens in God's kingdom. And that means learning to listen to our wives and take heed of our children as well. I say times are perilous right now. And why do you say that? Well, we have parents who don't love and show natural affection for their children anymore. Children have become disobedient toward their parents. We've been warned about that in Matthew 10:21, that brother shall turn against brother, children shall rise up against their parents. It brings to mind the age-old question, are we there yet? I think we are there or so close that we know that these times are near. We have parents deserting their children, men and women turning away from God's word to satisfy their ways. And the sad part of all of this is that they say it's all right and they want the rest of us to follow their examples. No way, no how, and no time. The rules have already been set in order by God and we can't change them and to be all right and be all right with the Lord. This is what our text is talking about. Even if this world lasts another 1,000 years, none of us will escape death. The only hope we have for future life is in Jesus. According to Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope in the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Peter in 1 Peter 1 and chapter and verse number 3 calls it lively hope because Christ is risen. If we want God's provision, we must look to Jesus and live our lives the way he tells us to. If we are to live with him throughout the ceaseless ages, we have to do it the way he said do it. Job in the Old Testament put it like this in Job 19, chapter 25 and 26. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. What are you saying, Job? Job was saying he knows that God is his Redeemer. And you ought to know that God is your Redeemer as well. In the days of old, he believed in God's glory. We too should believe that someday the righteous judge is coming for us, and every eye shall see him. Jesus made a promise in John 19 and verse number 3, yet in a little while this world see me no more, but ye see me because I live, you shall live also. Yes, church, Jesus is coming back. So I ask the question this morning, are you ready to receive him? If not, you need to get ready because the days of his coming are not exaggerated. They are real. And when you look at the text again and watch this, if you will, for me. This know that also in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. How many have you seen of that already? Without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. I ask the question this morning, have you seen that already? Men are hungry for power. Men are they are just threatening to take over the world. in their quest for power, in their quest to be more powerful than God has suggested that they ought to be. God is all powerful. Man is not. So this morning, the question becomes for us, isn't this the time to draw near to God in these times? We ought to draw near to God in these times because these times are ruthless times. These are bad times. That description that was given in chapter two, verse number 2 and verse number 3 are what we are seeing today. Without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers. We've seen all of those and more. And in verse 2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. How many men do you know that love themselves more than anything else in this world? Even more than their God. And their God is all powerful and all knowing and all seeing. But men sometimes get above themselves and start to be more than they think. They want to be more than they really are. So I asked the question this morning. These times, these perilous times, according to verse 1, this know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. I suggest to you those perilous times are here now. Those perilous times are with us in this age, in this time. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm simply saying one thing. We need to get close to God. We need to draw near unto God. Amos said it in Amos, I believe it's Amos chapter 4. He said, draw near unto God. But what I want to suggest to you this morning is this. When you draw near unto him, stay there. Amen. Don't draw near unto him because you got a crisis going on in your life. Amen. I mean, draw near unto him because you have a crisis, but don't just leave him once that crisis is over. You know, it sometimes behooves me when a person tells me, I know I'm a Christian. I know I love the Lord. But yet you see them doing everything opposite of what the Lord tells them to do. But yet I'm a Christian. A Christian does not live for the first day of the week only. A Christian is a Christian all week. A Christian is a Christian every day of every week, of every month, of every year of his life. You know, I've learned something over the years. And as I get older, it becomes more complete to me that my days are not as many as they once were. My days are not as long as they once were. And every time I wake up and I have this kind of pain and I have that kind of pain, I realize to myself that these pains are not going anywhere too soon. And I know that these pains are pains of life. Because as you get older, you realize you got something that you never knew you had before. You got a part in your body that you never realized you had before. And as I said before, it's good to know a living God, the living God, not just any God, because there is no other God but God, our living and our all-powerful and almighty God. And when I think about this a little bit further, I say to myself, why do some men want to be more powerful than God? And I can't answer the question because I don't know why a man would think he's more powerful than God. When God made every fiber in our bodies, made every hair on our head, and he knows every hair on our head. And he has already told us that perilous times shall come. And when these perilous times shall come, we ought to be ready for them because we know God. When I look at it and I think on it, I say to myself how awesome God really is. God is so very awesome. He made this world. And he didn't ask for our help, did he, church? He made the sky that shines, that the sun sits in and shines so brightly. He put the sun there. He put the moon that shines at night there in the sky. And he put the twinkling in the twinkling stars. That's all his doing. We didn't help him at all. He is our helper. We are not his helper. But I continue to ask the question of God. Every time I get one of those pains I was talking about a few minutes ago, the first thing most of us say when we get those pains is, "Oh Lord, help me, Lord." And then when I ask myself, when I was a little bit younger, I didn't get those pains, so I didn't realize one day they were coming. But now I know they come. I know that they come frequent and they come often. They come soon rather than later these days. They come when you least expect them to come. For a Christian, you ought to get to know God much better and much sooner than you have before. For a Christian, it's good to have God on our side. For a Christian, it's good to know that the God we serve is able to help us to get through everything we may be going through. And I thank God for everything he does for me. Every time I break a piece of bread off, I thank God for it. Every time I take a drink of water, I thank God for it. Every time I exhale and inhale, I thank God for it. I thank God for so much, he probably gets tired of me thanking him sometimes. But I don't stop, and you should not stop. For in this life, we're going to face some perilous times. And these perilous times are going to try us, and they're going to test us, and they're going to work on our patience. They're going to get next to us. And we're going to ask ourselves, "Lord, you didn't tell me that I was going to go through that." But if you go back into the Word of God, you'll find out that he did warn you that these times are coming. So what I'm suggesting to you this morning is, if you've never met God, this is the morning to meet him while you still have an opportunity. If you have met him and you've turned your back on him, you need to come back, swing back around, and turn back to him. And so how do I do that, preacher? Well, it's very simple. If you've never met him, you come by hearing, believing, repentance, confessing, and then being baptized. It's cold outside, but we will still baptize. Brother Jackson is willing and able to baptize you this morning. And if you met him, you got baptized a long time ago, but things haven't went so well in your life. You need to come back to God, ask him to forgive you of your shortcomings, ask the church to pray for you and help you get back on the right track. God is good and God is able. God is willing and God is ready. But are you? That's the question this morning. If that be your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.